It is a privilege for myself to be a young man, but still be able to stand here and preach tonight. And I thank the Lord for the privilege of an honor of calling me to preach. And I've never been ashamed of that. I thank the Lord that He's allowed me to be in this church, and I count it as an honor and a privilege. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. I'll read a few verses in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll read verses 7 through 11. If you please stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God, as our custom here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11 is my text verse tonight. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold that fast. Those three words as will be my sermon tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon I've entitled 30 Years of Holding Fast. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for this church. God, I thank you for the influence it's had on my life, Lord. I definitely wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for this church, God. I thank you, Lord, that this is your church. Jesus, I thank you that you're here in the midst of us tonight. And I pray that you would take the words that you'd have me to speak, and I pray that you'd work on the hearts of men, Lord. And I pray that you do what needs to be done tonight. And we sure do thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. 30 years of holding fast. We look around our land today. We look around our community today. We look around the world today. And there are many so-called churches. There's many places where people meet. Many churches are 30, 40, 50, some are even 100 years old. They have the people, they have the steeple, they have the buildings, they have the sign, but yet sad to say, they're not a church. They're not a church because just as Jesus said about the church of Sardis in the first part of Revelation here, it says, I know thy works that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. And I'm afraid as we look around our land today, as evident by the way the people live in our land today, many churches are dead. But yet, thank God, 30 years ago, life was given to Blessed Old Baptist Church. And I can say from personal experience, and I believe if anyone is here can look around, that our church is very much alive. We're alive because Jesus Christ is here in the midst of us tonight. The Bible says in Revelation, Jesus says that he walks in the midst of the candlesticks. And Jesus said that if he told the church of Ephesus, if they didn't do the things, he would take away their candlestick. Thank God we still have our candlestick tonight. 30 years of holding fast. You know, there's some things that when this church was started, Pastor instilled in us and we started believing, some things that we've held fast. And tonight I want to give you three things that I believe the Blessed Hope Baptist Church holds fast. Number one, holding fast to old-fashioned doctrines. Doctrine is the Bible teachings that we base our beliefs on. Holding fast to old-fashioned doctrines. I'm talking about doctrines like the virgin birth. The fact that our Savior was born of a virgin. We don't believe what the world tells us, what they have us to believe, the fact that Jesus was the product of an illegitimate relationship with Mary and a Roman soldier. We don't believe that. The Bible says that he was born of a virgin. The doctrine of the virgin birth of Christ. I'm talking about the doctrine of the substitutionary death of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ died in our place. He didn't deserve to be on that cross. We deserve to be on that cross. And Jesus Christ died in our place. I'm talking about the doctrine of the deity of Christ. The fact that Jesus Christ is God. That's right, Mr. Jehovah Witness. Jesus Christ is God. He's more than just a great teacher. He's more than just a great man. Jesus Christ is God. I'm talking about the doctrine of the blood atonement. That's right, the blood atonement. It took more than just the death of Christ to save us. It took His blood. My Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
That's right.
Mr. False Prophet who tries to tell us that Jesus just took His death. No, sir, it took His blood to save our souls.
Right.
I'm talking about the doctrine of the bodily resurrection. The fact that Jesus Christ got up 3 days later, kicked death in the face, and walked out of the grave. Amen to that. Glory to God. Jesus Christ walked out of the grave. The disciples didn't steal His body. The Roman soldiers couldn't hide His body. He got up and walked out of the grave. I'm talking about the old-fashioned doctrine of the inerrancy of the Scriptures. That's right. The Scriptures right here, the King James Bible. Not the King James Version, the King James Bible. Because it is the only Bible, the preserved Word of God. I'm talking about the old-fashioned doctrine of the depravity of man. The fact that we're sinners. Without God, we're left to burn in hell forever. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He loved us enough, the depravity of man. I'm talking about the old-fashioned doctrine, the second coming of Christ. Amen. Yeah. Get up and you live in this world. Thank God Jesus is coming again. We have hope. I don't see how the world lives without the hope of knowing that they someday can get a chance to get out of this. But thank God for the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
For 30 years, this church has held fast the old-fashioned doctrines. And because our church has held fast those doctrines, thank God we can be here tonight. Not only have as we held fast the old-fashioned doctrines, but I believe that we have held fast the old-fashioned standards.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that 30 years ago, Pastor Ross, he didn't just sit in his office one day and these things popped in his head. No, sir. He looked in this book and he saw how Christians should be.
Amen.
And thank God for 30 years we've held fast the old-fashioned standards. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We're not like the world. I said we're not like the world. We're not like the world. We're different. We're a peculiar people. Thank God that 30 years ago we established some old-fashioned doctrine. Thank God today, 30 years later, we're still holding fast the old-fashioned standards. Thank God. I'm glad that we're not one of these places that changes depending upon which direction the world's going or which direction the popular crowd's going. No, sir. Thank God we don't go out on Saturdays and give a survey and ask the community what they would like to have in a church. No, sir. We don't do that here. We hold fast the old-fashioned standards of the Bible. Like I said before, the standards that we hold fast, they came from this book right here. They're not man standards. We don't believe these things because we think we're better than everybody. You know, we're accused of being better than everybody else. We're no better than anyone. We're all a bunch of sinners.
That's right.
All we do is choose to believe and live the Bible, what the Bible says. We decide to take the higher road, the road that the Bible teaches to have. Thank God for those old-fashioned standards. I'm talking about we hold fast old-fashioned standards of the fact that men should look, dress, and act like men. We hold fast the old-fashioned standard that ladies should dress, look, and act like ladies. Thank God we hold fast the old-fashioned standard that young people should still walk down the marriage aisle in holiness, arriving at their marriage altar pure and clean. Thank God we hold fast that standard. Thank God we hold fast the standard of abstaining from worldly activities that would hinder our fellowship with Christ and be a stumbling block to other Christians. Thank God we hold fast that standard. We're not like the world. We don't do things like the world. Thank God we hold fast the standards that are taught in this book right here. I'm so thankful that when I was growing up, I had a place to look that I knew no matter what, it wasn't going to change. And I knew if I didn't shape up, I was going to ship out. That's the way it was. If I would do something wrong, you know what? There was consequence for it. Thank God those old-fashioned standards were still holding fast here in this church. I said first, this church is holding fast the old-fashioned doctrines. I said we're holding fast the old-fashioned standards. And last of all, we're holding fast the old-fashioned preaching. Thank God for the old-fashioned preaching. 1 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. You know, that right there, that's a statement, not a question. Not if you want to. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's not a choice. That is a command. Preach the word. Thank God. Thank God that at this church for 30 years, we have the old-fashioned preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
Thank God when we come here that sometimes it's not very comfortable to sit through a message. You know, I told Pastor not too long ago, I said, Pastor, I said, I was pretty uncomfortable tonight. And he said, you know what? That's the way it should be. And amen to that. That's the way it should be. Church should not be a place where we come to get comfortable. Church should be a place where we come to, where we hear the preaching of the Word of God. It works in our heart and it makes us do something. Thank God for the preaching that bothers you. If it doesn't bother you, there's something wrong. You can sit through a service and after service under this kind of preaching and you don't feel the Holy Spirit working in your heart, there's something the matter with your heart. Thank God. When you're convicted of some sin, thank God for it. When I was a teenager, I used to go to church camp. And man, and when we'd hear that preaching at church camp, and oh man, it just seemed like the Lord worked on my heart every night. And at first I thought there was a lot of matter with me, which there was, I'm sure. But then I got to realizing, and I told the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, thanks for working on my heart. And I remember there's one time in my life where I could do some wrong without the Holy Spirit working in my heart. And I fell on my knees and said, God, please start convicting me of my sin. And thank God now, anytime that I do something I shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit works in my heart. That's the way it should be. Thank God for the old-fashioned preaching that brings conviction. Thank God for the old-fashioned preaching about hell. I'm glad we got a preacher who tells it how it is. The fact that hell is, it's not necessarily a popular thing to talk about these days. You don't hear a lot of preaching on hell, but thank God from the pulpit here, you hear preaching about hell. I remember the story of a young preacher just getting ready to go in the ministry. And he was debating, he was at a crossroads, he was debating whether or not to become a hellfire brimstone preacher or a deeper life preacher. And this weighed heavy upon him, so he decided to go get counsel from a man of God. And he asked this older, wiser preacher, he says, do you think I should become a hellfire brimstone preacher? Because he said, people probably won't like me as much. Or do you think I should try to draw a large crowd by my deeper life preaching? The wise man of God looked at him and said this, is there a hell? He said, no, wait a minute, preacher. I didn't ask you that. I asked, what kind of preacher should I become? He said, is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is that, yes, sir, I tell you tonight, folks, there is a hell. Amen. Thank God that we hear preaching from this pulpit the fact that hell's real, hell's hot, and it's our responsibility to keep people out of there. Amen. Thank God we hear that preaching. Amen. Don't ever get tired of hearing the truth preached. I'm so thankful that we're in a place where we can hear the truth preached. Amen. That we don't always like it, but it's the truth. And don't feel discouraged if you hear something preached that maybe you don't agree with or whatever, because you know what? God sets the high standard, and our standard is supposed to conform to His standard. And a lot of times it don't always do that. That's what the preaching's for. It's to help us conform to the truth. So never get tired of, always be thankful that you hear the truth preached. What a great thought to think that one of these days, as my daughter grows older and my future kids grow older, they're always going to have a place to come and hear the truth preached.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
I said our church holds fast the old-fashioned doctrines, holds fast to old-fashioned standards, and holds fast to old-fashioned preaching. 30 years we've been here. I say we, but not actually me, but our church has been here for 30 years. And is it going to be here another 30 years?
Yes.
That's going to be up to my generation, the generation below me. Because you know what? The older generation, I say that with respect, the older generation, they're not always going to be here. They're going to pass on. And the torch will have to be handed off. And it's our choice whether or not we decide to take it or we're going to drop it. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of churches today that are liberal that started out good churches. And somewhere along the line, the torch was dropped. Will we be able to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church at the Lord tarries? That's up to me. That's up to my generation. That's up to the generation below me. By God's grace, we can pick up that torch. We can carry that torch. And by God's grace, in another 30 years, we can celebrate the 60th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen.